I do wear my North Face all the time, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very nice.
Yeah, you wore your North Face in your Mod Light video that you did. And I know
I did.
On purpose, I was like, man, he's going all out. Like, yeah, Mod Light has paid me with his North Face jacket to
speak about the multi-mode head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
So, Nick, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. Repeat offender over here.
Yeah.
Before we get too far gone, we didn't introduce the Badger podcast. So if you want to start this podcast by introducing.
Yeah, so this is the Big Tech Soreness podcast, but you probably already knew that. I'm Ike. We have Chris, Ian, and then from Mod Light, we have Nick.
Hello.
So he is here.
Otherwise known as Killer Nick in the hip-hop circles.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
Seen it.
Have you?
Can't talk about it. Okay.
So is there, Paul mentioned it on Facebook, but do you run into hip hop artists all the time?
I wouldn't say all the time. Last time,
a lot.
Yeah. Like last time I was getting on a plane to go to SHOT Show, I ran into Waka Flocka Flame.
Yeah. I saw that.
And what's funny is like no one noticed him. But like I'm a huge hip hop fan, and so when I saw him, like I walked onto the plane and looked down, I like went nuh-uh. And he like looks up. I was like, "Can I get a picture?"
That's awesome. Your first reaction, nuh-uh. And he's like, "Oh, okay, cool."
Yeah,
I was watching Steve Fisher's live Instagram the other night, and he quoted a rap song. He's like, "If you know that song." Like, and it was a old school Nelly song. And I was like, Nelly. And he's like, hey.
I wouldn't think Fish was a big hip hop guy.
I mean, I don't know if he is or not, but he quoted Nelly. So
what brings you to town? Did you just randomly show up on our doorstep?
It seems like, yeah. No, we're going to do some content for Mod Light today. So looking forward to that.
And if our viewers don't already know who Nick Young is, can you give him a quick down dirty?
Sure thing. Yeah, I work for Mod Light. I think I'm the longest lasting employee at Mod Light. I've been there since basically the very beginning. I test a lot of the stuff, do a lot of the social media stuff. But yeah, like pretty big knowledge base when it comes to Mod Light stuff, just because I've been there forever. And I also have a training company, Velox Training Group. So fly around the country, teach people how to,
shoot guns real fast.
Do the shooty thing really fast. Yep.
Cool. How'd you get into that?
Man, it seems like it just came to me. It wasn't like something that I like set out to go do. It was like I would have people like message me like, hey, are you ever going to do classes? And then finally I was like, I'll do it and like see what becomes of it. And the class was full. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I bet the next one won't be full. And then the next one was full. And it's like, all right, maybe this like could be a thing. So yeah, it's definitely not something that like I set out to do, but it's just kind of fallen in my lap, I suppose you could say. But I dig it a lot. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
How many classes did you do in 2023?
Close to 40.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
That's moving around.
Yeah, it was a lot. At least a lot for me. I have two little kids, full family at home. So
I mean, that's almost every week.
Yes.
Like, I know some people are doing a lot more than that, but never home. Like they just live on the road.
Yeah. And I never want to do that, man.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely not my goal. Like I never want to do 100 classes a year.
Yeah. That sounds miserable.
No way, man. Like I'd rather be home with my family.
Yeah.
So
do you have a home range that you teach at?
Yep. So there's a range basically right next to my house that I do. I'll do a couple private classes. Like if I know you, I'll let you come there.
Okay.
But for the most part, the majority of the classes that are like in North Carolina are going to be at a range. It's like 30 minutes from me.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. And where at North Carolina are you?
Carthage. It's basically like Fort Bragg, Southern Pines area. Okay. Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
The good side of Bragg.
Yes.
Not the Fayetteville.
Not the Vietnam side of Bragg.
First time I went out there, we stayed at Fayetteville. Come to find out that's like, everyone else stays up on the other side, Southern Pines, Carthage area and stuff. So the second time we didn't make that same mistake, but
yeah,
I think I flew out of Fayetteville. That is why we did it.
Yeah. Fayetteville is an interesting place. When we first moved to North Carolina, I saw my mom pull a gun on someone in Fayetteville. Shit. Yeah. In the mall. Like, you tried to.
Mom's packing gats.
She was, man. She had a 357. And the dude, like, we were walking out to the parking lot, and the dude, like, grabbed her arm and was like, you know, whatever they say, give me all your money or whatever. And she pulled out a 357 and stuck it in his face, and like, he took off. And I remember, like, afterwards, she was, like, shaking to beat the band, and she's like, I probably couldn't hit him. Like, you know, couldn't hit him anyway, but, you know.
Mom's got it on lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's so gangster. We see where Nick got his inspiration from.
Yeah. Mom. She's pretty gangster.
That is gangster.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Adrenaline dump just sitting there afterwards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 2024, how many classes you got planned for that so far? How full is the schedule?
I'd have to count. I want to say it's like 30 or 35, not counting like some of the ones during the week, like cop classes or, you know, different agencies. Those usually happen during the week.
But, yeah. Yeah. You mentioned earlier when we were talking about it, that you're doing a lot more of the, on the LE side.
Yeah.
Just teaching them how to shoot fast and more accurate.
Yeah, it seems like there's a pretty good push for their performance shooting on their, like, the LE side of the house, which is good. It's really good. You know, like, if you look at LE as a whole, I think they have like an 18% hit ratio across. And I'm not making fun. It's just like that is the fact, right?
Yeah, I mean, the facts 18%
of the time they hit stuff, and then the rest of the time they don't. So teaching them to shoot fast and accurate is, I think, definitely needed.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. And, like, teaching them how to train, like, specifically, like, things to look for, things to assess, you know, while you're training, things to do in dry fire, like, teaching them how to dry fire and actually, like, practice on their own. Like, I think that's definitely a thing that's needed. Because the qual is not training.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I'm reading Tales of the Stakeout Squad. Mm-hmm. From like the New York City, from like the 60s, 70s, 80s. And they were talking about hit ratios. And like, I think he said, I literally read it last night, and it was like 15% hit ratio with the Stakeout Squad guys, because they're all gun dudes and they all train. They were at an 80% hit ratio.
Yeah.
I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah, those dudes didn't fuck around.
Yeah, no.
The Stakeout Squad did not fuck around.
Yeah. They were talking about like how the dudes, like, one of them carried two 1911s, one under each arm, and then his service revolver, and then an ankle gun. And he was like, yeah, if he ever was like in the water, I don't think we could have saved him, because he would just fucking... Yeah.
There at one point, I think it's that book where they talk about how they just all decide that, like, they're just going to quit doing body shots. Like, just go for that. Like, they just had so many shootings at that point. They're like, you can never get a consistent, you know, consistent reaction from the dude you're shooting. Even if you hit them where you want to hit them in the chest, that they might still fight for 15 seconds, 2 minutes. But if you shoot them in the head and you shoot them right in the head, they don't fight no more.
It's a switch.
It's a doop.
They also don't testify.
Yeah. So. They don't come back. Speaking of dry fire, mm-hmm. We'll jump right into...
We got some good questions.
Yeah, we got some good questions over in our friends group. And by the way, I used a picture of my fluffy puppy
this morning
to attract attention. And it worked, except for most people are now talking about my puppy.
I know. So, I saw that, and I was like, I wonder if the puppy's going to be there. He could sit in my lap.
No, he does not behave well enough to come to work. No, does not behave.
Neither do most of the employees, though, so you could have brought him anyway.
What specific dry fire, Doc says, what specific dry fire, live fire drill or regiment took your shooting to the next level?
I would say when I started to pay very, very close attention to, like, things like what my grip is doing and what my vision is doing, the vision specifically. I think that's something that, like, people definitely don't look at enough. Like, for instance, like, are you actually target focused, or are you looking at the dot? I think a lot of people, are looking at the dot and don't really know it. Like one way to figure out, like if you're actually target focused or not, like if you're doing target transition. So say you have like three targets up, right? Like where's the dot landing inside of that target? And I would say like, if you see it, a good indicator is like, if you see the dot like streaking across the target, you're probably not looking at a specific spot where you want the dot to land. Cause if you were, it would stop on that spot. Like to me, eyes always tell the hands or the body like what to do. And so like, if you see the dot like streaking across the target, like that's an indicator to me, like, yep, I'm just looking in the general direction of that target rather than a spot that I want the dot to stop into. Cause like I say, like wherever you plant your eyes is pretty much where the bullets are going to go. Like a good example of this would be police officers doing like simmunitions training, right? And like one guy has a knife. That dude always gets shot in the hands, and it's because everyone is always looking at the knife. And so like, like if you see your dot, like maybe landing in a spot where you don't want it to land on the target, like that to me is an indicator of like, probably just looking in the general direction of the target, or you're not, you know, picking an appropriate spot on the target, like where you want the bullets to go. Because most people are watching the dot for sure.
I don't think I've ever did any like strictly visual acuity training in that aspect.
You're welcome. It's a, it's a good rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah.
It'll drive you nuts.
I bet.
Yeah.
So another question that was brought up, the PLH 5K, I know that's been a while since it was out. Are y'all playing around with any other like hues and stuff like that? Thinking about bringing it back? Or I guess not hues, but I guess warmthness.
Warmth. Yeah. Yeah. The that emitter actually got discontinued. So we don't have that anymore. We're always like looking at different stuff. And like, we're always listening to what people are saying. Like if people post stuff online, like, hey, I'd like to see that. Like we always are like, all right, like there's feedback. And so we're always looking at feedback and like what people want, always, you know, looking at coming out with new stuff, but I'm not sure if I could say what is coming or what isn't.
Yeah. This is going to air what, like next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a week from tomorrow. Week.
This is episode 68. That is actually dropping out of sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't take that as a 5K is coming, but yeah. Like,
yeah. Always exploring other stuff.
Always. Yeah.
And whether or not that makes it to actual production is
exactly
something else.
It's got to be useful and it's got to be, you know, something that people are like going to really, really want.
Yeah. You need more than six people to buy it.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know what? That brings up a good topic, and we kind of talked about this. So what do you think is the most overlooked mod light product?
Probably the booster adapter for sure. And the booster adapter is an adapter that you can use on the hog body, which, has a 21700 battery. You put a booster adapter on there and then put a regular standard mod light head on it. And then you have like hours and hours of runtime. Like a lot of hours, 5-6 hours, depending on which head you use. Like if you use the OKW, like it is a ridiculous amount of runtime.
That's
there.
Insane. Yeah. Like hours. Of yeah. Runtime is. Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like if you're a cop and you're going to be posted up on, you know, a call out or some sort of warrant or something, like you don't want to be changing batteries. And so to me, like it makes total sense to have a 21700, you know, body that is just going to keep the light going for hours.
Yeah. It's a good duty belt or like, you know, vest option.
Absolutely.
Like one of the complaints, just looking at internet chatter, one of the main complaints I see is that people complaining about the runtime, like on an OKW or PLH 18650, what's the runtime on that?
It's going to be about 60 minutes, 65, yeah. 65, 70 minutes.
So that's like a common complaint that I see. And then this is like just eliminates any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like 65, 70 minutes. Like
that's still a long time.
That's a long time for that light to be on. But yeah, like if you want more runtime, the 21700 is definitely the way to go with the booster. Yes, it is a little bit bigger, but like in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that bad. Like I've carried it in my pocket. I don't notice much of a difference. Like it's very reminiscent to carrying like a 18650. So
Just adds a little girth and a little length to it.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't we all wish?
Right. With the and you could put a multi-mode head on there and have like 17 days worth in admin mode.
For yeah. sure. For sure. I probably should test out like how many hours you get on the admin mode, but yeah, it's probably nuts.
It's a while.
It's probably a whole day.
Yeah. I definitely like having, I'm glad you guys came out with the multi-mode. That's definitely a nice option.
Yes.
We actually, I broke down on the side of the road last week in our U-Haul and had the multi-mode, and our mechanic didn't have a flashlight and it's dark out, and whip out the mod light and bing, bing, put it on multi-mode. And I was like, all right, this is actually like real world, like experience of this. And it just came out. It was cool. It was nice to have.
I wish I would have had one last night. I picked up a nice wooden sliver from that tank trap yesterday.
Oh.
And so I have my 9-year-old standing halfway across the kitchen.
Yeah.
Holding the mod light up. And I'm like, back up. All right. And I'm like digging it out because it was too, like, I couldn't get it close enough. And here's Elsa standing in the middle of the kitchen with my light up shining on me like 7 feet away.
Yeah.
But I don't have a multi-mode head yet. I'm that guy.
I use it all the time. Like, I catch myself using it probably almost every day. Like, the other day, my parents live real close to me. Their power went out for whatever reason. Like, here I am, like, underneath the house with the freaking multi-mode head. Like, it's super, super handy.
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance, and I'm Ian from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today, we've got the weekly update. So, first off, from Voltor is the classic Myrrh upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those are my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
Rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Gonna be across the street at the range. Doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armors
class. Armors class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns. And that's been on the market now for a couple weeks, right? It dropped it right before, right after Black Friday.
It's yes. Like 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I think.
When I blinded Chris for an hour out back, the Legacy heads have some fucking serious, like, some serious power behind it. I have one of the throw heads on it, on mine. And, like, it was putting out some serious power at 100 yards. Like, 100% usable light.
I think one of the coolest things about the Legacy heads too is, like, if you want it as a weapon light, like, that's going to be the smallest body available. Like, if you want a mod light weapon light, because it's a 16mm. So, like, if you need to butt it up against the LA5 or a PEC 15 or something and want it super, super tight, like, that's the one that you're going to be able to get, like, very tight up against the laser. So I love the LED heads. Probably my favorite heads that we make.
Yeah, I need to switch out some of my older Surefires to update them, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has those old Surefire bodies.
It's so many of them.
Like, I had three or four just, like, sitting in a drawer, that, like, the old, like, 200 lumen, you know.
You mean light. Like this?
That relic, yes.
I don't know.
See if a Legacy head fits on this thing.
We see it.
No, I don't.
It might. I don't know.
It's an eBay score.
Nice.
Random old
16mm. I don't know. It might. I'm curious.
We have the technology. We go test that out.
I've got one on my desk.
Yeah.
Right now. That'll work on there. All right. We hit that one. I'm looking here.
I have so many questions about your prior life that we'll talk about offline because that's super cool.
Yeah.
So one thing people were asking about was dual like emitters, you know, like a vampire head basically. Mm-hmm. Any plans for that?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're always looking at, you know, coming out with new stuff. And for sure, like, we do see that all the time, like, people asking about it. So it's definitely something that we're looking into. But, like we're not going to put something out that has, like, two emitters and doesn't do either one really good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in my opinion, the Surefire Vampire head, it doesn't do white light really good, and it doesn't do the IR thing really good either. So, like, if we came out with one, like, it would do both very, very good.
Would the head have to be bigger to, like, accommodate the higher output of two diodes, or?
I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure how
much.
Get
all sciencey here.
Yeah.
Nick's like, I literally can't talk about
it. I can't talk about it.
Well, I'll just beep it, this all out. Instead of just I'll just be one long redacted
beep.
Are you guys still
and us the, moving our lips?
Yeah. Actually, that would be really funny.
Do you guys still make the IR heads?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I haven't seen those in a minute.
We never sold a whole lot of them.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we always had a couple on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat.
What did I do on? I put the SpongeBob thing on Antimatters when they were talking about thing. I was like, 5 minutes later, I'll do that to this one too. Drop the SpongeBob in here. Yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely did not move a lot of the IR heads when we did have the compared to the other.
Yeah,
ones,
compared though. To the other ones, mm-hmm. like compared to those. Yeah,
we sell the shit out of Mod Light.
Oh yeah,
it's one of our top five selling brands. I did the data research the other day, and with all the stuff that we sell,
yeah.
And in some of those instances, some of those items are thousands of dollars.
I was going to say that also takes into account. I mean, that's a lot of $300 lights compared to $1,500, $2,000 guns. You know, or suppressors like Knight's cans. Those are $1,800 a pop.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but they don't send us a lot of stuff.
They don't send us a lot. So
it's one of those.
I wonder what if you broke it down by like units, like. Wonder what.
So I know for a fact that we sold 41,000 AR parts or accessories. I did that math last night. I
wonder how many PMags we sold.
I'll go look.
A lot.
That's not including mags.
Yeah.
That's just AR parts.
Yeah.
41,000 individual AR parts.
Wow.
That's wild.
It's crazy.
It's awesome.
Nifty.
That's cool to hear.
Last year.
I love it.
On a slow year. Yeah. Anyway, so that brings back, we're back into the podcast here and talking about stuff that we talked about. I've been really shocked, and we were talking about it in the office earlier, that people haven't been upgrading their handheld heads
to the
multi-mode head. Because it's not like you're going to be out ahead.
Mm-mm.
Just get a weapon-mounted body and throw that head back on a gun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, to me, it's
such
a no-brainer.
A good tool.
Because, like I say, I use it all the time. I use the admin mode all the time.
Yeah.
So we just need to get it out there more more people can know about it.
Yeah. And not dropping stuff at the end of the year is a difficult time.
It is.
It is definitely a difficult time because you're always, and we dealt with this last year with.
I had a question actually. The PL350 upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
What was the big? Is it the Switchology changed out?
Yeah. So like, I think this is a myth. Like people think that it was the paddle. Like no, it was not the paddles. It was the switch bar itself.
Okay.
So the metal switch bar itself inside of the switch was brittle and would break. Like if you, I don't know, snagged it on a Safariland holster, it may break. Personally, I've never broken one, but that's not to say that people weren't breaking them. So that's what the upgrade was all about.
Okay.
And so it's got the new the new Switch is way more robust. There's no more metal bar on the inside. It also has a little bit more tactile feel to it. So
nice. That was a free upgrade that you guys were doing.
Free upgrade. And like when I say robust, like I put that Switch in a vise and like bent the light back and forth and couldn't break it off. Like it is not going to break.
And is that program still going?
Yes. For the next, let's see, this is airing next week.
Yeah.
It'll almost be out.
Okay.
Yep.
On that same topic, you know, the old, what was the Filster?
Oh, the arc switches.
The arc switches, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there was such an issue with the Surefire lights and switching out arcs that was John and Sarah's most emailed customer service issue, to the point where they're like, we're not doing this anymore.
The problem with that was like the user had to install it. Yep. So you get a lot of people that don't know what they're doing or just like to force stuff, you know. Yep. They're like bending the little tabs that it goes on to, yep, not doing it properly, or not putting super glue on it too and having it fly off.
Yep. It was a constant issue for them.
And also, too, the tolerance on those light switches on the Surefire side was a little bit different from batch to batch. So you'd get some that fit really, really snug. And yep, others that were loose.
Yep.
But you could take that same paddle on this one, it'd be really tight. You'd put on another X300, it'd be really, yep, loose.
Yeah. Yep. So personally, I think, and this is just me, this probably doesn't represent, you know, Modlight, right? But like personally, I feel like the long switches are not a good idea, right? Not only does it add more leverage to the switch like bar itself, but like, I'm not worried about turning the light on. I'm worried about accidentally turning the light on. Like, I don't want to have to worry about hand placement because I have a switch that's, you know, an inch long. Like, I want to be able to draw the gun, put my support hand where I want it to go, and not worry about turning the light on. Yeah. And I feel like some of those longer switches, like I've tried them before. I've tested out the longer ones. Whenever I had those longer paddles on, it was like the light would get knocked on super easy. And I think that's not a good deal.
Yeah. And you're putting a lot of leverage on that. That's not designed to do that.
Yeah. To me, it's just not a good idea, yeah, but to each their own.
To each their own. Do what you
maybe
will.
You got Burger King hands and you want a little longer paddle on there.
What are Burger King?
You never seen that commercial with Burger King and he's got the little tiny hands?
No. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, now that you say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, it's been a minute.
Burger King hands. Little tiny. Like
carnies. They have small hands. And yeah, they smell like cabbage.
What? Smell like cabbage?
This is my strong hand.
Austin Powers, where he's talking about carnies. They have small hands and they smell like cabbage. No. I'll put that in here too. We're just going to edit the fuck out of this podcast.
So this is a 15-minute podcast.
What drove the for y'all to come out with the redheads? The redheads? Is that what we're calling
sure
it?
Okay. Yeah, the redheads.
The redhead.
Like redhead. Again, we listen to all the feedback, right? And so when people are like emailing or they're commenting, you know, on social media, like, hey, I would like a red filter or, you know, a red emitter so I can go, you know, coyote hunting with this thing. Like there's a lot of that was getting said. So
interesting.
It definitely sparked our interest. And there's not really, so a couple things. There's not a red hunting light on the market that is not from China, at least from my research. And they're all like humongous. And a lot of them have filters over them. And so if you take like a white light, put a filter over it, all you're doing is like, yeah, it will be red, but like you're dimming it way down. So you lose a lot of the power. Our red heads actually have a red emitter. And so they're a lot more powerful than what you see on the market currently. They're pretty dope, man. I know some guys in Texas, they're like sneaking up on like, gosh, one guy sent me a video. There was like 90 hogs and he was like 25 yards away.
Jeez. That would actually kind of be scary. If you worried about it, like
they had belt feds.
So. Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
They just ripped into them.
Just mowing down some bacon.
Let's get as close as possible before we open up.
Yeah. And I mean, the redheads are cool. if you like hunting at night. So like coyotes, deer, if you're allowed to do that. I'm not sure if you can do
not
that.
Not in Texas.
Probably should check your local laws.
I mean, you can do anything once.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But like a lot of animals, I feel like they see it, but they just don't really care about it, if I'm not mistaken. Like what I've researched on like coyotes, like they see it as, they see red light as like a orange, and they're just not worried about it.
Huh. That's what interesting. Do they know there's a guy with a belt fed?
You know, when, I've tested this too on those things, yeah. And they're like, I don't care.
You know when redheads aren't cool?
When?
When they're instructors. Yeah. Jim Dexter. Talking to him.
Wow. I thought he was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Just,
well, he thought wrong.
He thought wrong. Now he knows.
Nice. Nice.
What other questions you got, Mr. Ian? You've been slacking off. You haven't been on the podcast. Ask him any questions that you've missed on the past podcast that you would ask, like, I don't know, Scott Jedlinski or Badger Ordnance. Who else did he miss?
When's your new mount coming out for your optic? Just kidding. I don't know. It was a Badger Ordnance question. Yeah. What else you guys got coming out?
That you can talk about.
Nothing?
Nada.
Yeah. I have a hog on.
SHOT Show is next month, Ian.
That's true. Like, we're like 30-something days away. I have a hog on my one rifle and shot out to 600 yards with it at night.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
pretty impressive.
Like easy day too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have to do the part, but I could see the target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done it out to, I think it was 400 yards with my SCAR 17.
Nice.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that was like the light goes straight, but like the 308 is dropping.
Yeah.
And so I almost needed like a light mount with MOA built into it. So like aim it down a little bit.
You're that's like awesome. Clicking your mount. And it's like,
yeah. That's awesome.
You know, elevation changes.
One thing I know you can talk about, and it's coming soon at some point here, is the mod button light. With USB-C, the link.
The link.
Can you talk about the Switchology y'all got coming out?
Yeah. It's basically the same exact Switchology as the regular mod button light, but it has a different plug. So it's going to plug into the Unity gas cap, which is super freaking cool. It's got a clicky cap on the back of it. And then... The USB-C plug is going to plug into the side of the tail cap. Very, very slick design. Like, this is something that I've been very, very, like, excited about seeing. So,
you'll have 4.5 and 7-inch cables coming out on that. FDE. Yeah.
FDE and black.
And black.
Yep.
With mod button.
Axon.
Light switch.
And Axon SLs.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got all of that on order. We're just waiting for it to show up.
Yep. Should be any day now.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah. And one of the things that we haven't touched on is the price point on that. You'll be able to get a gas cap and a mod button light switch for less than you would be getting into a DSOO and a mod button light switch. Mm-hmm. The price points are going to be very competitive on that.
Yeah, so you'll end up saving money on the package.
Yeah.
And
compared to
a DSOO.
I'm biased, but like it's a lot more robust system too, you know.
So. And it's also set up for the future, you know, because this is kind of where everything's heading. So
yep.
The future's now, old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
More efficient way of transmitting power, I guess.
Yeah. You know? So. Or more power if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you can just plug in your Apple charging cord
into it. You can't charge
you get
through
all
it.
Just make it go on with 112 volts to your mod light head. You will void every fucking warranty if you do that. Do not do that, customers.
I'm going to do it.
Don't do it.
I think they've tried it.
Yeah.
When I listened to the podcast when Trent was on, I believe he tried over that.
Yeah. They try everything.
Yeah.
They absolutely do.
Oh, yeah.
They test everything very thoroughly before it gets out to the public. So that's cool. That the anything you see that you're excited about that's not particularly Modlight, anything
out there? That's out or coming out?
That you can talk about if you're on the know.
I don't know if I can talk about it.
Okay, then anything that you know you can
there's
talk
some,
about
that's there's already... There's some really cool...
It's just, hey, we're just not going to drop this podcast. Fuck it.
We need to make this like an NDA-free zone where NDAs don't apply.
Yeah. Then nobody shows up on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's me, you, and Ian talking. And half the time it's just me and you because he doesn't show up.
Yeah, Ian.
Oh, wow. All right, well,
that's why he was worried about losing his key.
Yeah. See you guys. Listen.
But no, seriously, what's something out right now, gear-related or firearms-related, that you're using every day that you like?
The new steel frame Walther PDP. That is super freaking dope. I've been shooting that for a couple
weeks
now. Do you
have one with you?
Yeah, it's in the car.
Okay, we need to see that after. You do. I want to finger blast one.
Yes. I got someone on order. They're not here yet.
They're dope. I've got somewhere around, I think, around 5,000 rounds on mine already.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Dude, that gun is super, super nice. Like, if you're into, like, USPSA or maybe three gun or something, and you're like, all right, I want a metal gun. Like, there's not that many choices, right? Like, you've got a Shadow 2, basically, is like, the gun that people usually go to. But, like, if you don't want to deal with a DASA trigger, then the Walther PDP steel frame is, like, that is the one, dude.
I had a Q4 for a little bit, but didn't really have any, like, holsters for it, so I sold it.
Yeah.
But it was a nice, it shot really well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The Q5...
Q5 is a steel frame.
Q5 mm-hmm. steel yeah, frame, right? Are you affiliated with Walther in any way? Mm-hmm. Okay, well. I would think that you should be able to find the Q5 steel frame at really good prices here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast, because mm-hmm. they are definitely moving those out to dealers at a good price.
Yeah.
So there
should I think be they're going to be discontinued, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because the PDP kind of fills, or the new steel...
Yeah, and I think the biggest complaint with the Q5 was just the grip size. So it's like a compact grip size, really small.
Yeah,
which I'm not a big fan of. So the steel frame PDP, it'll come in the compact size and the full size grip.
Oh, nice.
You could change out the grip panels on it, just like the Q5. So you could put like lock grips. If you want it even heavier, you could do the brass grips on it.
Yeah. What optic are you running on there?
The Hollow Sun 507 comp.
Okay.
Oh,
how are you liking that?
I love that optic, man.
It's got a big window.
Yeah.
Yes. And like big, super clean window, super clean dot. Mine have been super robust. I probably have somewhere around 20 or 30,000 rounds on mine.
On your comp already?
Yeah.
Those like just came out.
I had it before it came out.
Nice. Well, those just came out. That's a lot of rounds.
They've been out. Well, they've been out 6-7 months at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Jesus. We just don't get it. The production's been a little bit slow, so they've been out, just been hard to get.
Well, yes, kind of, sir.
Our supply chain has been...
There we go.
I'll say that.
Yes, there.
Yeah, anyway. That's nice.
We got a bunch back there. We got if you're watching the podcast right now and you're thinking, man, I need a 507 comp, it would be a great late Christmas present. They're available at BigTexOrdinance.com as of 12/21/23. Happy birthday to my wife, by the way, who I forgot was her birthday today. She doesn't watch this, so.
Yeah, so you're safe.
Yeah, I'm safe.
Right. Here's how I look at the 507 comp. It's like the SRO is what I used before.
Yeah.
Like if I already have an SRO, I'm not going to get rid of it. Like I'll just use it. But like if I need another pistol optic, I'm not going to buy the SRO. Like I'm going to buy the Hollow Sun. It's cheaper. It does basically the exact same thing that the SRO does. It's just as robust, if not more robust, than the SRO.
What reticle do you use?
I like just a single dot.
Yep.
Okay. To me, like the big, this is just a me thing, like the big horseshoes or like the big circle, like it's harder to see through. And like, I don't want to stare at the dot. I want to look through it and superimpose the dot on the target. And like, the more shit is going on in that, you know, in the glass, the harder it is to actually look through it. I find the circle dots and stuff, especially in pistol optics, to be just distracting.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I like the single dot.
And that's the, can you select the different dot sizes on that one, or is it just one?
There's like eight different sets.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
I know you have two, you can have like two circles on there.
Yeah, two circles, yeah. A reticle.
One for a BA to 10, one for a BA to 25. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, somebody out there is happy.
Yeah.
That they have that option.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I just like the dot. Like, that's how I've always been. Just like a nice little 2 or 3 MOA dot.
I need to mess around with just the dot. Like, I really like the dot on my DPP was the first real dot that I shot a lot of on a pistol. And that was really cool. And then I switched over to Holosuns on some stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. I love the EOTech reticle. I might as well have the EOTech reticle on my pistol.
Oh, yeah.
You know, And I'm pretty happy with that. But I've never... I don't think I get distracted, but I don't shoot enough to, but that's changing anyway. And he's back.
Sorry. I was seeing water.
Okay.
I really had to pee.
Oh, I thought it was a number two.
No, no, I'd just been fighting a cold. I've been hydrating my butt off and
I missed you the last 2 days.
The water level was about here in my head right now. Yeah, I know. I don't like not being here. Hydrate or die.
So back to the training side, what do you do more of? Pistol classes, rifle classes? Do you have like a most popular one?
The most popular one I would say is like pistol one day, rifle the next day. Like people want to do both. And like the way that I do it, like in my opinion, there's a lot of transferable skills from pistol to rifle. And so on rifle day, like we only shoot rifles and I essentially pick up where I left off with the pistol. There are a couple things that we do with rifle that, aren't transferable from pistol. Like the way that you mount the rifle, the movement stuff is going to be a little different. Transitions, in my opinion, probably a little different with rifle. So like we do some different stuff with rifle, but for like the most part, it's just like rolling over, like picking up where we left off the day before, but gotcha. With a rifle.
Nice.
Yeah.
What, your previous life, what was that? I forgot the name because I'm high on Dayquil and Mucinex right now. What was that called?
What, a farrier?
I was a farrier.
A farrier, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Almost 20 years.
How did you get into that? We could talk about this. I have a lot of questions. That's so cool.
Horses need shoes, man.
I know.
I won a national championship with that, too.
Did you
for
really?
For, like, the fastest or?
There was speed involved, but, like, you would have a specific amount of time to make a very specific shoe, and it would get judged on quality and all that stuff.
That's legit. So
2012, I won a national championship with that. But, I've always had horses. And so, like, at the time, I was like, that'd be a cool job. And then, like, went to school.
Is there a school for that?
There's a lot of different schools for that.
Okay.
And then, like, got out, started the business, and then started competing in it. Everything I do, I'm going to compete. Like, I'm not going to just not compete.
Yeah, open division for farriers and carry optics.
Carry optics farrier division.
Yeah.
You have a fucking 507 comp on your hammer.
Yeah. Like, everything I do, I compete.
You still have a big anvil?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I got rid of some of them. Like, I used to have a bunch of them, and I got rid of some of them just because I don't. But, yeah, I still have a 200-pound anvil. I have a Coke Forge and all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
Still, yeah. Nice. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
I want to make knives.
Just to have if I could.
You can make knives or swords or Japanese katanas. You know, a lot of things you
How
can do.
How long's the school for that? I'm super interested in this.
Not long enough. Page.
Okay.
Yeah, like 8 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Which is not long enough
to learn
an actual trade and start a business. Yeah. Like it's.
Do you typically do like an apprenticeship for that or is it?
You don't have to, but like you definitely should. Like England, for example, like if you want to be a farrier in England, you have to go to a 4-year school. It's like a doctorate.
Oh, wow.
Like it's a 4-year school and then you write letters to master farriers hoping to get on with them to apprentice for another 4 years. And then you take a test and have like this big, like thesis that you have to write. And then you finally be able to become a farrier.
Are you a master farrier?
No.
Oh
no.
Even after 20 years?
Yeah, no. Dang. I never bought, like you didn't like, here in the States, like, you don't, anyone could do it. Like, you just have a bucket of tools and call yourself whatever you want. A
bucket of tools. Like,
and so, yeah. No, I
never, I'd be scared doing that.
I always just competed just because I felt like that was the best way to get better.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Did you ever get kicked?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would not be.
It doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
I kick back.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Very hard.
Yeah. I got a buddy that did that after he got out of the Army. I don't know if he's still doing it or
I've
not.
I've never met a farrier before.
That was a, it's definitely from my family and everybody I know that have horses and everything. Once you find a good farrier, you do not let them go.
So how often do horses get new shoes?
The ones that I did, they would get it like every 4 to 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
That's, like, I thought it was like twice a year.
Like racing horses or something?
I would do, the ones that I used to do were like dressage horses, hunters, 3-day eventers. So like show horses, basically.
Cool.
Or right. Sometimes they would go to the Olympics.
Fancy
stuff like
horses.
That.
So basically, I guess you're just set up like on a schedule and then like you've got your normal route or whatever.
Yep.
Do you get any like emergency calls? Like,
not anymore. No.
do you still do it at all?
No.
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 He ain't got time for that. He's on the road 40 weeks out of the year.
Yeah. So back.
It was a lot to like juggle, man. Like I started Velox almost 4 years ago. And so, and I worked for Modlight. And so shoeing horses and then traveling on the weekends for Velox. And like, man, it was
that's bananas. A lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah. And like.
Literally.
Yes.
He's got his forge. Yeah. A lot of irons in the forge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a very hard job, like on your body. Like it destroys
your body.
You're
just crouched over all the time.
Yep. It destroys your body, man.
No, you know what we should do is get Mark Smith and get Nick here together and they could teach like a combination plumbing farrier course.
We should just both be on the podcast. It would probably be the funniest freaking podcast you've ever put out.
Back to what we're actually supposed to be talking about. Multifunction laser module. Will Modlight ever drop a multifunction laser module?
I'm going to give the same answer I did before. We're always looking to do, you know, different things.
Are
we going to come out with it?
I don't know. That's like Joe Falcone.
Who knows, man?
Is it like the Joe Falcone?
If you could only carry one Modlight for the rest of your life, what would it be?
PLHV2.
It is.
18650 or 18350?
21700.
Oh, ah, yeah. All the light, all the time.
Yep.
Interesting.
You can use that, actually. You can use that.
Oh, thank you.
All the light, all the time.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Questions. What else do you want to talk about?
Yeah, let me see what else we got from the group.
I don't want to like pry stuff out of you.
It's hard talking about like what is coming.
I know that's what sucks.
I'm not allowed to say anything about that stuff.
It's okay. We'll just have a bunch.
You guys have the whole gang going to SHOT Show again?
Yes. Yes. Nice. We have a massive gang. Like this is the most people that we brought to SHOT.
I know last year you had like 4 or 5 of you guys.
Yeah. And I don't even think that was enough at times.
Here's
no, I know when I came to, we were going to talk to you guys. Everyone was pretty burned out from a week of talking to people.
Yeah. It, you know, SHOT's a marathon and it's like, one thing that you have to make sure you do is like take care of yourself while you're there.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you're not getting enough sleep and like, dude, you're just not going to make it, man.
Yeah. Sleep and hydration are like the two most important things for that, for getting through it.
Yep.
So here's one from the crowd. Who is your favorite Modlight co-worker and why is it Luke?
Did Luke post that?
Probably Luke, yeah. Yeah. Luke is a super, super smart guy. I enjoy working with Luke. So, yeah, I like Luke.
Me and Luke have been chatting on the phone and texting recently, and I've definitely enjoyed interacting with him on the information side of the house. So
speaking of Luke, JR called me yesterday.
Oh, I forgot about JR.
Yeah.
Look at that.
He was asking me Magpul questions, and I really couldn't help him.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he was not happy that he
No, I found the information that he needed. I did some research.
I'll just leave my key here.
He was asking me Magpul Arca questions.
Oh,
I figured it out for him, though.
Yeah.
We have the technology.
Yeah. We have Magpul Arca.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got one on my rifle.
Used
right
it yesterday,
now.
Huh?
Yeah. I really like it.
That's cool.
I like the sectional modular Arca rails. That's definitely something that needs to be more of.
What's your favorite rifle? What do you normally teach with?
The Hodge 14.5.
Oh.
It's, yeah. It's, She's you a guys banger. Cuss on here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's, to me, it's unfuckwithable. The Hodge 14.5. It's hands down the smoothest, most polite shooting rifle that I own or have ever owned.
You chopped your scar, right? You have a shorty scar?
Yep.
Nice.
That's soft, but like it's different. Like that gun bucks. Like it does this instead of straight back. So it's not as predictable as like the 14.5 Hodge. The 14.5 Hodge just parks on the target very, very easily.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the shorty scar, like you have to do more work to make it predictable for sure.
Were you shooting your Hodge? Is that a 14.5?
The green one is.
The green one. With the tan loopy on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice scope.
My other one's nice rifle. My 12.5. That's what I shoot the most of.
Yeah.
That's kind of like my do-all gun.
I teach with a 12.5 too. I actually just got an 11.5. That's gaining popularity for me. Apparently, like that thing is super, super nice. I don't know why it seems smoother than the 12.5. Jim really? Could probably tell me.
Yeah. But. I don't think I've really ever shot an 11.5. I think the one that I have the most time on is the 12.5, but pretty much everything I do is 12.5.
12.5 has a good feel, good
it's
ballistics.
A good balance. Yeah.
Good terminal ballistics because mm-hmm. It has enough speed in your typical working envelope that what we would see anyway.
I prefer my 9-inch.
I've killed stuff with the 12.5. Like that thing, like it does the job for sure. I killed a 200-pound deer a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a nice one that you went on your random walk with your rifle.
I did. Yeah.
So the 14.5 and you're running the PDP steel frame right now?
Yep.
For the main squeeze?
Yeah, for sure. That steel frame is badass. I brought it so you guys can try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might have to do a video on it. Do a video on it.
Yeah, we can do it. That'd be cool.
You want to do a video on it?
Sure.
Do a video on it. Stay tuned for a video from Nick about it. What lights on it? You got a light on it?
I don't. No, no light on it.
Not yet.
No.
What holsters does it fit in?
All the same PDP holsters.
Does it?
Yep.
Nice. That's good.
The takedown lever does stick out a little bit because it's the same takedown lever that's like on a like a Q5.
Okay.
So it may hang a little bit, but like all of my holsters are so
loved.
They're very, yeah. I was gonna say clapped out, but like they all it drops in all of mine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Never mind.
So how many rounds do you think you shoot a year? Pistol and rifle, if you have a guess.
Probably somewhere around 75,000-80,000 rounds a year.
Jesus.
Yeah. Probably 75% of that's going to be pistol, 25% rifle. Because again, I think there's a lot of transferable skills from pistol to rifle.
Yeah.
And so when I do shoot rifle, I'm specifically working on the things that are not transferable. Movement, the way I mount the gun, all that stuff. But yeah, I shoot a good amount of rounds, just teaching. And then, like, I have a range that's 50 yards from my house.
So oh, yeah.
I get to shoot a lot.
That'd be sick.
I mean, it's not like you work 647 yards from a range, but it's okay.
Yeah. We've lasered the warehouse to the range.
Yeah, so back door to front door.
Yeah.
If we Everyone's ever got their
steel target.
Yeah. Yeah, if we ever need to put rounds on the range, we have our dope on it.
Yeah.
Everybody does. Yeah. Anyway. Cool. So where can people find information about Velux training?
I have an Instagram page. I'm always posting stuff on Instagram. That page is like dedicated to just like, you know, things that may help people out with their shooting. That's V-E-L-O-X, Velux _training_group. And then I have a website, veloxtraininggroup.com. And you can get on there, see the whole schedule for 2024, all that stuff. You could sign up for classes. There's a pro shop on there where you could buy like shirts and hats and all that stuff.
Cool. What's the ModLight Instagram handle?
ModLight Systems.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know y'all are shadow banned. It's hard. You have to type it out exactly. So
it's so
that's how it is with us. Like we're not. You can't find us unless you type it all the way out.
You could see naked women, but you can't see flashlights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flashlights are very scandalous.
Yeah. Just the difference in our like our BTO gear and our regular BTO. Mm-hmm. Like I'll post a video on one and it's like, well, you've showed it to all your viewers, but only 200 people that aren't following you see it. And then it's flip flopped because the other one's not shadow banned.
Right.
And it's
the only way around it is my life hard. The only way around it is to try to get people to share it.
Yeah.
It's like if you can get, 200-300 people to share it, then it's like then everyone sees it and it's not up to the algorithm.
Yeah.
It's a pain. Where can people get the ModLight OD green hat? Because I'm kind of jealous because I don't have one.
I don't think you can.
You can. Okay. Nope.
Suck it.
I can get you one though. Okay.
Okay. Where can people find more information about ModLight?
You can go to modlightsystems.com. All the flashlights and jazz are on there. Or you can go to Instagram or Facebook, drop us a question or a DM. Anything you guys, have in terms of questions, we're always down to answer them.
So. Or bigtexordnance.com, where you can find all your ModLight flashlight needs. One of our top 5 selling brands at bigtexordnance.com. And if you've watched this podcast to the end, I appreciate it. It's 2.5 minutes long because of all the redactedness.
Redacted.
Anyway. Thanks for watching. Happy New Year. Will it be?
It'll be, yeah.
This will be the final episode, episode 68.
I can't wait for episode 69.
It drops tomorrow.
Yeah,
you were too late.
Yeah, you were on the Badger one?
Yeah.
It's going to be the Badger one.
They were like, how many episodes do you have? I was like, it's got to be close to 69. And Jordan's like, no way. And it was going to be 68, but they talked us into making it episode 69.
So we're dropping it out.
So, yeah, you would actually be 69, but the Badger
son
guys.
Of a.
Yeah.
I could just make them both episode 69. Yeah,
69.1.
No, we talked about that, too. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, happy freaking New Year, and thanks for giving Big Tech's Ordnance an amazing 2023.
Yeah, we really appreciate y'all.
Thank you for coming back. Do you have anything to say to the people?
Yes.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Remember to get your horse's shoes changed. That's all. Drink water.
I should have needed that.